Hey, today's daf is Zvachim Tzadi Hey, and we got up to yesterday. We did the Mishnah on Tzadi Dalet about the three different the three different things that became Tomei, and he had to bring them out. The first was a Beged, right? So you had to take it out. The Mishnah said Chutz the Kalayim, the curtains. This is a discussion which pointed out earlier. Perhaps that Lashon of Kalayim, which doesn't Shayach to the actual Beis HaMikdash, that was when we had a Mishkan, so perhaps that's a hint, someone explained. I think the Tiferes Yisroel learns like this, maybe it's the Tosefes Yom Tov. One of the Forshim on the Mishnayos want to say that you see from here, this is a throwback, this is one of the earliest Mishnayos we have. And therefore it used the Lashon from when it was taught in the actual Mishkan. There was Shach used the term of Kalayim. That's why it says the Beged has to be taken out there, and then you basically make it Ois Beged, and you bring it back in. The second case was the Mishnah had was the Kli Cheres, that you get rid of that, and then the Kli Nechoshes. And then once it's taken out, you're allowed to bring it back in, because you have an Isser of Knisa Dvar Tomei Lazara. So the Sefer Olas Shlomo asks Akasha, why don't we say that the Aseh of Kibbutz is doichir this los Aseh of bringing something that's tummy into the Azara, right? So, we're going to discuss about this later on. I think on Sadi Zayin we'll have the sugya. But he asks over here, why don't you just be mentality? Why do you have to take it out and make it, tear it up or break it, whatever it is, and then you can do it? So he has the yesod that no, we only say that the ase is doiche los ase if it happens beidno, if it happens at the exact same time that the ase and the los ase. What's in the case of this where you have lamashal, you have tsaras b'makamila, something like that. So there it's happening beidno, it's happening at the same time. So here it's not happening at the same time. Another teretz they give, the Ramban discusses what's the whole yesod of aseh dochelos aseh. So he writes in Parshas Yisro when he's discussing that we only heard two out of the aseres adibros, right? We heard Anochi Hashem and Lo Yiyeh. So the first is the source for all the mitzvahs aseh, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's machlokas rishonim, but that's most of them, that's the source, that's the mitzvahs aseh by itself, it's not an introduction to the rest of the aseres adibros. And the second dibra we heard was lo yeh, not to have any avodah zarahs, not to have any false gods. So the Ramban learns that every single one of the mitzvahs aseh is nichlal in that first statement. Right? That all of the 248 positive mitzvos are included in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then the 365 lav in the mitzvos losses are included in the second of them. So that's all we heard. And he writes that that the inyan of the mitzvos aseh is an inyan of avas Hashem. Avas Hashem, okay, and because when you love somebody or something, that makes you want to act, to do things for them. And the yesod of mitzvos los aseh is yiras Hashem. And yiras Hashem is that yir means I hold back, I'm misgabra, I don't do anything, right? The proper taich of yir is probably not fear, but it's more of an awe, that I'm so afraid of doing something that's going to spoil this relationship that I have with Hashem. That's what my yiras Hashem is all about. Therefore, what happens when I have a conflict, which Al-Pi Drush, the Ramban, is learning that which is more fundamental, my Avas Hashem, which is represented by the mitzvahs Aseh, or my Yiras Hashem, which is represented by the mitzvahs Aseh. So the klal is, the Gemara Yevamos tells us, that mitzvahs Aseh is a dochelos Aseh. Aseh dochelos means that the mitzvah of Avas Hashem wins. It beats out the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. It's the spitz avod, it's the higher level that we should be serving Kodesh Baruch Hu with, is with our love of Hashem. That's great, that's true, but that doesn't apply at all places, at all times. In the Makom HaMikdash, the main mida there is Yiras Hashem. So therefore, again, putting it all together, that's why he wants to say, that's like Meshech Chochma learns like this in Parshas Zos HaBracha, that's why we don't say that an aseh is dochelos aseh, because ava is not the main mida in the Makom of the Mikdash. Okay, all that's a Bederek Hakdom, and now we'll start the Gemara. So, we're talking about a case where the beged became tamei outside of the kolayim, right? So you tear it up because that doesn't make it into a beged anymore. And then what's it called? Then you bring it up in samaski for ravina. Says Mara, koro. What you rip it up? 1 second. Beged amar rachman v'lav beged hu. Once you've torn it up, it's no longer a beged. It's just a scrap of cloth. It's a shmata, right? So this is the issue that the Gemara and the Rishonim are dealing with. If I'm tearing it up, then it's not really a beged anymore. So how could I even have to be metaret? So Tosfos learns that it's like a middle ground. It's enough of a beged to be choshev, but it's not enough of a beged to be tamei. Okay, the mishari be kidei ma'ofaris. The Gemara says the Mishnah is talking about a case when you left a little bit art of it that's enough for a. For a small cloth is left over. The Rambam says here in Maisa Krabonos. The Rambam says Beged Shenita Zalav Dam Achatas V'yotze Chutz Lazor. So you had the Dam Achatas got onto it. It's splat onto, and you take it outside of the Azora. Machazir Lazor Machabzor Sham. You bring it back, and then you do the kibbutz there. Nitma Chutz Lazor Ketzad Yasesh. Which it became tummy outside. Kora Kadesh Yita. You tear it up. You a little bit so that it's going to become Torah. So Pashtus, we're learning, this is talking about any beged, and it's also talking about the big day kahuna, with the exception of the me'il, as we'll see later on. Umachniso mechabso b'fnim. So you bring it in, and you do the kibbutz in there. V'tzarech lehanich bo shalem kedei ma'aforis. You have to leave a little bit like the size of a I'll call it like a handkerchief or something like that. Lafish Netmark, the pasuk says beged. Tzarech lechabis beged. There has to be enough of it to be called a beged and not a rag, not a little piece of cloth. Afal pi shehu tamei midivreihem mipnei kedei shemof kedei hamaoferes shenish arabo. Even though it's tamei on a derabon level because it has the size of it, kevin shenikra ruba, but since the rove, the majority of it's torn, therefore tohor min hator. It's torn on a deraisa level. Therefore, you'd be allowed to bring it in, right? Samar asks on this line, Eni, one sec, is that really true? And if you can leave a little bit of it intact, you're allowed to bring it back into the Azara. Rav Huna says the opposite. You only when you don't have enough of it left over, right? But if you would leave a little above, Chibur Havei, it really is a what's it called? It's connected already, right? And therefore, the beged is going to still be tamei. So come out according to this, leaving over a piece of that size wouldn't really serve any purpose in terms of the taking off the tumah. There's a Rambam over in Kli Mikdash. The Rambam says here, Kli Mikdash, where are we? Tes Gimel, about this whole idea about the me'il. So he gives an introduction. He describes to us how the me'il was constructed. He says, "Hame'il kula techelis." It was all techelis. V'chutav kafulin shnayim oser, and it had like 12 strands folded over. Upiv arug techelis arigoso. Right, it was woven. Ve'ein lo beis yad, didn't have any openings for the hands. Ela nechlak l'shte kanafayim misof hagaron ad lamata. So it had like these two flaps that went all the way down from the. Like your neck, the throat line all the way down. Kederech kol hamil, like any meal is made. Ve'ein mechuber ela kenege kol hagaron bilvad. Hakorea piha meal. If you would tear the meal, you are loke. You get malchus for that. Shneemar lo yikare. The pasuk says lo yikare. You can't tear it off. Says the Rambam. This is with the achronim. It's brought down. Hu hadin lechol big de kahuna. Right, any this you can't tear any of them. Shekoron derech hashchoso. If you're tearing in the way of ripping it, then you loike, right? But the Radbaz says if you're tearing it not to for hashchoso, but you're coming to fix it, then there is no lav on that as well. Okay, now. Says the Gemara, one second. The Gemara is going to answer for Rav Huna that's talking midrabonin who right on the top of Amud Aleph, since the Chazal said that little small piece, right, is it's going to make it really fine. So on a deraisa level, the piece that you tore is enough to be tahor. So therefore, you're allowed to bring that back into the azor in order to do the kibbutz. Okay, said the Mishnah, kli cheres shiotza. If you had a kli cheres, right, which you had the chatas in it, and it went outside of the kelaim, became tamei outside of the kelaim, so you make a little hole in it, and that makes it tohor, right, and then you bring it back in, and then you break it. Someone says, what do you mean? Why do you have to break it, right? Kli amarachmona. The Torah says it has to be a kli, right? Velo klihu, and once you broke it, it's no longer a kli. Someone says, shenika bishorish koton. What you did was you broke it with a a small little piece of it. So what does that mean? It means it's no longer usable for what it is currently, but you can use it for other things as well, right? So on this is interesting. I heard Rabbi Rosner quoted a Hegyoni Halacha, right? Very popular sefer, Mirsky sefer. So he brings in the Hegyoni Halacha a vort from the Kotzker, and really we have to understand a little background as to why there is a difference between a Kli Cheres and other types of Kelim. So he says this: Al pi ze pirush Rabbeinu Menachem Mendel Mikotzker Zatzal Devarim Ne'elamim Bedine Tumas Kelim Kli Cheres. So we're talking about an earthenware Kli, which was probably the most common type they had back in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. Dina she'en nitma migabo ela mitocho. Something touches the back side of it, the outside of the kli, then that doesn't make it tummy. It has to be actually on the, if you hang like a sheretz or something on the inside of it, then it becomes tummy. Kilomer. Sheretz meis shenit la ba'aviro shel ha'kli afa pi ish lanogabo. If just hanging it, suspending it inside of the kli, that makes it no good. Harei zeh tummy. Aval im noga sheretz begabo shel ha'kli lo nitma ha'kli. But if the sheretz would touch the outside of it, that doesn't make it tummy. Zeh din tumas kli cheres. Okay, that's a special, unique halach by kli cheres. The hifrucho bekli mateches, and by a metal kli, it's the exact opposite. Shemitocho ena nitma ala nitma begabo. So it becomes tame from the outside. Ma chilek bein zeloze. So what's the difference? Why is there a distinction between these two types of cases? So he comes out with a yesod, just say it over outside, that there's two things that give a kli chashivas. One thing is the actual material that it's made out of, and the other thing that gives the kli the chashivas is its purpose, its function, what you use it for. So when you have a kli cheres, the material is worthless. So the only thing it's valuable as is what's it called? Is the function of itself. Masha'enkin, you have a metal kli, so metal is a chash of a thing that has value to it by itself. And he explains what this means with tocho, the neshama and the guf, that you have to have the inner quality to it as well. Okay. Yeah, then the mark is kli nechoshes pochaso. So if you have a kli nechoshes, right, the copper one, we have the chatas in it, it was taken outside, became tameh, so you have to break it. You make it an ois kli. Same question. V'ha lav klihu. Right? You can't use it anymore. So therefore, no. Diratzef mirtzaf hu. You hammered it out, and then you remade it into a new kli, and then you do the merika and the shtifa on it. So Rambam in Maisa Krabonus, Perek Ches Chaf Aleph, kli cheres shebisho bo chatas v'yotza, machnisa v'shoivir b'fnim, okay? Nitma b'chutz, nokvo b'kidei, shorsh koton k'dei sh'yitar, u'machnisa v'shoivir b'fnim. Now the Gemara says, im nakovo nekev godo mizeh, if you had a bigger, more than that size, eina shoivir b'fnim, then in that case, you don't bring it back in. Hare ain't no kli, because it's no longer a kli. Ve ain't shovrim b'fnim ela kelim. You only allowed to bring kelim. Ve chein kli matachos metal shabisha bo v'yotza chutz la'zorim. So you cook the chatz and took it out. Machisa morko v'shtoifo b'fnim. You do the merikin shtifa inside. Nitma kashi yotza, right? If it became tom and came out, pochaso ad sheyitar umachnisa b'fnim. So you make it into ois kli and then you bring it back in. V'choizer umeradado ad sheyisosim hapochas v'yachazor ketavnis hakelim. So then you flatten it out until it becomes like a regular kli. Then you do you wash it up again. V'achakach morka b'shtofa b'hazara shnemar im b'kli nechoshes v'goyimer ein morkin b'fnim ela kelim. The only thing that you're allowed to do with this is the actual kelim in Hilchos Kelim Yud Beis, that when you have a kli mateches, right, something's made out of metal, right, and then it became tor because you tamei actually, and then you read again, it goes back to becoming tamei, but that's only a din de rabbonin. So in this case, the Chazal didn't insist upon reinstituting the the gezeret, nor that you would actually could be able to do the marika and the shtifa here in that case. Okay, next part. The Gemara goes back to talk about the beged where you had a little bit of the dam got splattered on it. Amar Reish Lakish meil shenitmas. Now, if it got onto the actual meil, mach Niso bepochus mishalosh al shalosh mechabso. So you bring it in. You bring it in little by little. Mishim shneimar lo yikareya. Because again, the whole eitz that we had previously was to tear it up. But we learned you can't do that. You can't do that to the me'il, right? Because it says beferish in parsha tetzaveh lo yikareya. You can't tear it. The Rambam here, it's all the same parak. But halacha chav says me'il shenitas alav dam chatas v'yotze v'nitma lachutz. Kated who ose. So now you're in a little bit of a dilemma. What are you going to do, right? So what we said earlier, you can't tear it up. Sahare hakare ose loike. You get malchus. K'moshe v'ano, as we explained. Machniso pachos mishlosh etzbos umechabso bifnim. So you bring it in by three etzbos at a time, and you wash it, and you bear the next part. And after you've washed all of it out, then you toivel in the mikveh outside of the yizara, and that's how you would, you know, you gotta do it somehow. But the eitzah doesn't work, so you have a special unique eitzah to do by the me'il. Okay, most of Rav Ada bar Ahava, so he has a kasha based on what it says in Kalim. Hevon v'rahakim ein behem mishum sholosh al sholosh. So if you have thick types of begadim and you have soft types of begadim, so this whole rule of sholosh al sholosh doesn't apply to them, whether or not they're going to become tamei now, because they have a uteness to them. So these types of begad they're only useful when they're bigger, and it's not considered to be a significant thing if it's only sholosh al sholosh, right? Now, the question he's asking is by the me'il, so that's definitely what the Mishnah is saying about ha'oven. It's very thick. So then, why do we only bring it into the Azara, but sholosh al sholosh, right? It's not good. So my answer is no. We're talking about the me'il. It is chashuv. Why? Agav avihen chashivi. Because they're av, the source of it, the whole begad itself, that's a chashuv thing. So therefore, since the av is there, like the toil itself, the extension of it, these little pieces of it also are going to be chashuv as well. And therefore, it would work to clean it and to be mitahir it in that way. Okay. Boy, Shiva Samamonim. Now, we're talking about cleaning off the dam. We have to put off these Shivas Samamonim. So, we're familiar with this from Nida. Mirz Hashem, the daf will get there in about a year and a half. That you have to, if you have a red stain on something and we're not sure what is it. Is it dam or is it like a paint or a dye or something like that? So you put on these Shivas Samamonim. And therefore, we can tell as a result of it. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabo, Omer Avua, Bar Rabo Bar Avua, Dam Chatas, Umaras Negoyim, Tzrichim Shiva Samamonim. So he said, the Dam of a Chatas that went onto a Beged, and if you have this Negoyim, right, then you have to do these, the Shiva Samamonim. Vitanya, El She'ein Machnisim Miraglayim, B'Mikdash. Oh, so there's a problem, because one of the seven ingredients is Miraglayim, and it's not Pekovedic to bring that into the what's it called? Into the Beis HaMikdash, right? So now the question is, so how are you going to do this kibus if you're not allowed to use the Shiva Samamonim on it, right? Where is the, there's a Rambam here as well. Let's see if I can find it. Get back here. Yeah, so they discuss. Maybe the Ram had a little bit of different girsa. Well, the Gemara is going to say, it says, Kish, this is in the Maisa Krabonis again, Perikhes Halach Yud, Kishem Machabsin Es Mokom Hadam. When you're washing off the place where the dam hit, the beged, Machabsin Oysa B'mayim Yofa Yofa Ad Shelo Yishaya Lo Roshim. So you wash it off very well until there's no trace of the dam. V'chol Shivas HaSamaminim Shema'avirin Al HaKesem Ma'avirin Al Hadam Chatos Chutz Mimei Raglayim. So, the Shizaman, you do it with the exception of the Meiraglayim, right? She'ein machnis Meiraglayim. Excuse me, you don't put it into the Mikdash. It's not Bekovedik. The Shechina is there. You're not gonna bring Meiraglayim there. So the Meforshim asks, what do you mean? Did the Ram have a different girsa, perhaps? We're not sure. So now, when it says on Amud Beis, the top, V'chi Teima, Demavlo lehu behade shiva samamonim. So let's say like this. One second. Maybe we'll do like this. Well, the meiraglayim got absorbed with the other of these seven types of samamonim, right? And then umaaver lehu lehu lukichad. I'll just put them all on once. So therefore, it's not really. It's like it's there, but it's not really recognizable. It's ma'uruv. It's all mixed in. So therefore, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. I'll put it all on at once. No, you can't do that. Vatanan, because we learned in a Mishnah that it's no good. Heviron Shlokesidron. If you put these seven on, the Mishnah over there in Nida Samach Beis talks about the order it has to be in. So if you put it, you skip, you went out of order. That's one thing. Oh, or Shehevir Shiv Osan Keachod. You put them all seven on at once. Lo Also Velo Klum. So it's no good. It's ineffective. So therefore, now the question is, what are you going to do about the Meraglayim? V'chitema. Okay, one second. Demivla lehu b'hadechad misamamonim. So no, maybe the Meraglayim is going to be just absorbed with one of the other ones. I mean, not all seven, but just one of them. V'ho tzarech lechas ches shalosh pa'amim b'chol echad v'echad. Right? You have to rub it with each one of these put on. You have to, Mom brings in Hilchos Yisribiya, you have to put them all on. One, you do each one, and you rub it up three times. So then you can't combine with the what's called the meraglim with anything else, right? Tanan ella demavle lehu berok tofel. No, so what it must be is that you put it with like this rok tofel means like this tasteless type of saliva, right? You haven't eaten since you woke up. Damar shlokish rok tofel tzarech shehei im kol echad ve'echad. So you put each one of them, and therefore. That's why it's not going to be a problem. So the Mikdash David over here in Simon Lamed Aleph asks, what exactly is this whole idea about the Shiva Samamonim? Is it really to clean it? Let's say it doesn't come out. Or, alternatively, he asks, what it would be if you did one or two of them and it got cleaned up already, but yourself put all seven on. So he wants to say that it must be that this is a Gezeiras HaKosev, right? And that's why we do this, so then for... Therefore, it's not really a din in the over here. It's not really a din in the mitzias, but it's because there's a cost of this is the way it has to be done. But Louis III could come with some other cleaning agent, some other scientific laboratory test to determine what it is. That's no good. It has to be done the way the Torah says. Okay. New Mishnah. This is talking about just in general kelim with nosar. Echad shebishol ve'echad she'era lesocha roseach. Whether you cooked in the kli, this is nechoshes. Or whether you poured, right, from the roseich is boiling hot into one. Echa kodshim kadoshim, echa kodshim kalim, right? Whether it's with kodshim kalim or kodshim kodshim kadoshim, to unin riko shtifa, you have to clean it out, rinse it out, wash it out. Kashrit. Rabbi Shimon Oimer Kodshim Kalim ain't to unim mariko shtifa. Rabbi Shimon has a unique sheet that the Gemara is going to explain. He holds that kodshim kalim do not require the mariko or the shtifa. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, okay, going on these things that they apply when it was poured, right? Because the Moshe said, "O she'era l'socha roseach, asher tivush albo." It says the pasuk which we saw yesterday is that it's cooked. Ainly ele shebishabo. All I know is that the kli that you actually cooked in, era l'socha roseach minayin. What's the source to tell me if I did eroi into it? There's a big tosfos here that discusses the Indian of Irui, right? How do I know that that also applies to Talmud Loimer Vasher Tavushabo Yishavir? From something else that's been cooked in it, it should be broken, right? So when it says that it should be broken, you learn out from here that if the hot meat is in this kli, whether it was cooked into or whether it was poured into, the halachas applied to it. And so therefore, if it's a kli cheres, you'd have to break it. Boy, Rami Barchama, Taloba Avir, Toner Mahu. What would the din be if I had the chatas meat is in the airspace of the kli cheres, right? In order to it's like an oven actually. Talking Abishu Ubiluyo, who the kapit rachmana is the Torah makbid on the cooking and the bilua that absorbs the taste. Oh, Dilman, maybe not. Abishul below bilua. That's just on the bishul cooking, but not about the bilua, the absorption of it. And therefore, if you had the basar that's roasting while it's in the air, you still have to break it. So Amar Rava Tashma, I'll bring a raya. Echad shebishabo ve'echad she'era toichel roseach. Right, our Mishnah. Whether you
cooked or whether you poured into it. The din is that it has to be broken. So you see, the kli has to be broken even if it wasn't cooked, but only if it was balua from the thing. So that would be mashma what? That even if the bishul and the balia don't happen at the same time, either one of the two would require that you have to break it. Right? Balua below bishul lokmi boilon. No, the Gemara says, I'm not asking about that case. I'm not discussing a case where you had bishul but you didn't have balia. Ki kami boilon, what am I asking? Bishul below bilua mai. Wait, did I read that right? 1 second. Yeah. Right? In other words, let me say it over again. If when you had this korban that was boiling, it was poured into the kli, so of course you have to break that, right? Because the kli cheres is never really going to be able to, you can't really get it out of there, right? That's why nowadays the modern day equivalent is like china dishes. A whole shiloh, you know, you inherited from some relative, you're not really sure the level of kashrus, and you know, you're concerned, can you use the china set, can you not use the china set? Okay, but we say that it's no good, right? But the shiloh was like this. It was it cooked, but there wasn't any balia into the kli, right? By this, that's our case, right? You have the meat that's suspended. So tashma, the omer of Nachman, omer Rabba bar Avua, toner shel mikdash. You had the oven in the base of mikdash, shel mateches haya. It was made out of metal. And if you're going to tell me that all the Torah was really makpid on was that there's a bishul, but it wouldn't require that, so if that's really true, na'avid shel cheres, so then you could have just made it out of cheres. See, the Torah is makpid. No, kevan de ikas shayari menachos da afioson betoner. No, there's the menachos, the remains of those, and that is baked in the oven. And there certainly is both, right? The ika bishul ubilua. There's both the bishul and the bilua. So therefore, avdin and shel mateches. That if you would have been made out of the menachos, it would have had to be broken, right? So therefore, that's why you make it out of mateches. Okay. Well, now on this whole sugya of Iroi, you have this in, we actually had it last in the very end of Avodah Zorah, right? In this machzor, it was right before Pesach, it was the first day Pesach, Yantav, that the whole sugya of Iroi comes up, and it's a three-way machloikis within the Tosfos, brought over here in this long Tosfos, so I'm going to read the whole thing. We had it over there. It comes up in the third parak of Shabbos as well. So basically, we'll go from one extreme to the other. One opinion holds that Iroi Kli Rishon, right, means pouring from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni. So whatever it touches, it's Mvashel Kulo. It cooks the whole thing, and there's no difference between Bishul in the Kli Rishon and Iroi Kli Rishon. The middle opinion is that it's Mvashel, but not the entire thing. It's only Mvashel Kedei Klipa, just the outer layer of the kli, but anything else would not be a problem. And then the third sheet in Tosfos says it's ein mevashel. It's not. It's heter gomer, right? That you could do this. So, what would be a modern day application? So the poskim discuss warming up a baby bottle on Shabbos. Now, I'm not sure, you know, if this is the most practical way of doing it, but theoretically, say you have a baby bottle and you wanted to put it directly under a hot urn. It's a waste of water, probably, but what would be the din? You could put it directly on. Because we paskin, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, gives this example, we paskin that it's mevashel kedei klipa. So what's the klipa? The klipa is the bottle itself. But the milk that you want to warm up, that's not being touched at all. So therefore, you'd be allowed to use it. It wouldn't be a problem. That's in the theoretical universe. You but practically, it's probably not so, it's a waste of water. So I don't know what we do is we just make a klisheni, and then you put the bottle into the klisheni, and then it sits longer. It sits in the hot water. It warms up much quicker than just running hot water directly over that. Unless you got an abundance of hot water you can use for this, that's probably more practical etza. Okay. So the next sugya, actually, we'll stop here. The next sugya we'll do tomorrow is the Isser Derabanan of having milchig bread. They were not allowed to do that. Is that a din in the? We'll discuss more of the discussion tomorrow. But we'll have to find out how in the world can you have Thomas's English muffin with a hechsher from the OU. We'll explain to Mitzvah Shem where all that comes from. Okay, we'll stop here for today.